You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilbert.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my ear bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks.
And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Right,
that's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I'm your host, Martin Bruda, and with me today are
Chris Ellis
and Chris Gilpin.
And we also, 2 weeks in a row, have a special guest. With us today is
Davis Dewsbury.
How you doing?
Not too bad, man. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Everybody else is doing well?
Yeah, doing pretty good. Yeah.
Good, good. I mean, Friday, comic books. We got to talk about comic books, but we got to start right off the bat. I mean, Davis, you're here for a reason. What's going on? Let us know.
Okay, for the folks that don't know me, my name is Davis Dewsbury, and I work for Great North Comics, which is our... independent Canadian comic book label, and I am the writer for Auric of the Great White North. So we're currently, as of Monday, we launched a brand new Kickstarter campaign for a brand new 35-page black and white, no dialogue, one-shot special called Auric Along Winter.
Should be fantastic. I mean, you know, I've been a big fan of Auric right from the get-go, and the other lads here, they've been reading it as well. It's a fantastic comic book.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, guys. Yeah, no, you guys have been actually a very vocal supporters of ours, and we appreciate it a lot. So it's an honor to be on here with you guys today.
It's just a fun comic book to read. Like, you guys do a great job, you know, Andrew's art and Sharon kicking in every once in a while there with the colors and stuff and your story. It's just a fun comic book. So it's a hoot to read.
Oh, right on. That's great to hear. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I think I've already, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say this new project, unfortunately we don't have Andrew penciling for this one, but he is still in the background as co-creator, helping put the project together and put the book together. We've got eight amazing artists that are working on this one continuous story throughout the 35 pages. So it's been a lot of fun so far. So.
That's good. Yeah, I know I've already sponsored my I've already kicked in on the Kickstarter there. I think I got the if I'm not mistaken, I got the two covers. Or the three, I'd have to look it up.
the Ruth color wraparound and the maybe the blank sketch variant, or
I think so, because I've got so far I've got every single Ruth black and white variant that you guys have released. So I feel like probably what I did was kind of continued on with that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. He killed it with this cover too. It's unbelievable. It's going to be, it was already selected in the first day, the original art for it. And I actually have it, like, if you can see this right behind me, that actually has it in it, and it's going to hurt to watch it go.
Yeah, no guff. I could probably guess who may have been in the running anyways to buy it, but we won't.
I wish I could say it was me.
Yeah, we won't say anybody's name in particular. Yeah, so I got the three covers. So the Mike Ruth wraparound cover, Hugh Rookwood variant cover, and then the blank one.
Yeah, Hugh killed it. I just posted on Instagram tonight his process, because he messaged me, and we were talking about it as a team. We're like, should we bug Hugh? And it's like, well, we got a lot going on right now, and I know he's a busy dude. So we were just kind of talking about it and waiting, and all of a sudden Hugh popped in, and he's like, dude, he says, I've already done a pinup. He's like, let me do a cover for you. And we were like, yeah, absolutely. So
yeah,
he showed us four different sketches that he was, kind of ideas that he had mocked up. And, he said, what do you like out of that? So they were all awesome. So
like, I'm literally right here looking at a Hugh Rookwood, Green Arrow print that Chris got for me. It's just fantastic. He's a fantastic artist.
Oh yeah, yes, he's amazing. And you know what? His personality and his people skills are like just as amazing as his talent. The dude is just, he's like a giant teddy bear. You know what I mean? Like, you know. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. He and I spent 2 days at a very quiet, comic show at a very small town, and we had some good laughs. I got to know him pretty good and bought some stuff from him and got a sketch from him. So yeah, he's a good guy.
And I bet you in all that time he was there, if it was a quiet one, I bet you he didn't say a single negative word about what was going on or
nope.
He's a total gentleman.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm pouring another northern apple juice.
Oh my goodness. I gotta either like send you my Purelator account number, or because that is totally ready to come up to Timmins for the Comic-Con this year. But
there's the shameless plug there for Full Beard Brewing.
Oh, gotta get me some of that bubbly juice. Ooh. Tasty, tasty.
It'd be nice when all of this this COVID stuff blows over. It'd be nice if we could get you guys up here.
Yeah, yeah. I've never actually met you. I've talked to Andrew before, but I've sponsored their done the Kickstarters a couple of times. But I think this is the first time I've actually said hey in person.
It's crazy. All this time. Well, thank you very much, Chris, for all the support over the years too.
We
appreciate it.
That's all good. It's we like to do that. I like, even as the group, we always talk about what's new and what's cool and what's going on. And Martin's always like in the indie stuff. So all you got to do is follow him, and you don't have to go very far to meet all of these really cool people who are putting out like really good books and stuff. So it's been a fun ride for the last little bit, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where, like, I was just looking at it the other day, I'm looking at my to read pile. Easily half of it is independent books that, you know, aren't the mainstream stuff, and I just enjoy the snot of it. It's good quality stuff.
You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just the way things are these days, but a lot of the mainstream stuff right now I love it. Nothing's really pulling me. You know what I mean? Like I've been an Amazing Spider-Man nut for God since I started this, and Spencer's a good writer, but like, I don't care. Like, it's so horrible to say. Like, and Ryan Ottley, I love him. I love him to death. He's fantastic, and I hate to say that on a book that he's drawing. Well, I guess he's done now. But I don't know what it is about Spencer on Spidey. There's no soul to it. It's just, I feel like it's kind of running through the gauntlet. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. This is like a third radio show in a row where we're kind of facing this dilemma where it's like, you know, what's exciting you out there? What are you really looking for? What are you pulling off the top of your pile every week to read? And the answer is,
yeah. Yeah.
Like right across the board.
And it's funny too, because for years I always heard, you know, like from the music side of things, how you get all this inspired music in times of kind of turmoil and trouble and political unrest and stuff like that. And there's none of that. And there's plenty of that political turmoil and unrest right now. And like, there's nothing. There's nothing inspiring in the in music right now. It's just pop. I'm not going to say the word, but like it's
no, you're 100% right. Like it just seems like everybody's playing it safe almost, you know. This is what the algorithm is saying will make a hit pop song, so let's just keep pumping that out over and over again, not take any chances.
Yeah,
you know, the comic book's the same thing. Like they did exactly a little bit of experimentation with newer stuff and trying to you know, focus on a particular demographic and stuff like this. But those people aren't the folks that are purchasing comics right now. And that's kind of gone over with a wet thud.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, again, you know, like I'm a huge, just like you're a huge Spidey fan, I'm a huge Flash fan. I've been reading Flash for decades, far, 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 far too many decades.
And I stopped after Manipul left the series. His work on that was absolutely stunning. Like that was some of the work of his career. It was fantastic stuff. And after that, I lost interest. And I'm not a big DC guy, and Marty knows this because we've gone back and forth over the years. Just some stuff really sticks out. That, to me, that really stuck out. You'll have to bear with me. I've got one of those computer chairs that likes to
sink on you.
All of a sudden. I'm not going to think that it has anything to do with my body weight. It's
in the design. Even in the independent comic thing, I mean, there's a few Kickstarters out there and stuff, but the second that I saw your kind of beginnings of a promotion for this, I was like getting all excited because Orc is one of those books that I look forward to all the time. You know, I'm always looking for the next issue and the next thing from you guys, but like other than that, it just there's just so much,
Well, I'm excited about Dodge, the second book of Dodge that's coming out. I was surprised how much how many preview pages they actually put on their Kickstarter. I was like, oh my god, another page. I'm like, how big is this book? But it's kick ass, and I'm like. It's tough because it's tough not for me to say that because I'm a huge Mike Ruth fan, right? Mike is awesome as far as I'm concerned. What else?
Yeah, like I got the Dodge issue one here that I just got from the Kickstarter not too long ago. And I know they went through one Kickstarter already that was unsuccessful, and that kind of was a bit of a bummer for me because it did look like it was going to be a good book and stuff. And I heard there was some talk of maybe it being through Image and whatnot. But then to actually see it come out and now a second issue coming out, that's just fantastic.
Yeah. And that did you guys see the G.I. Joe cover there for that?
Oh yeah. Totally got that one.
I've got a budget myself. I've got a Kickstarter coming up. Okay, I'll get that too.
I'm pretty sure out of all of us here, we all got the G.I. Joe cover. I'm pretty confident.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
It's a really safe bet.
Yeah, it was like, oh, dead giveaway. I gotta have that.
It's the right crowd in the right the fan service is like big. Yeah, we're there.
And when they posted it on Facebook too, all the people were just like,
So that should be fun. But I mean, I got some comics yesterday, and I read about half of them. Other than the Batman, I can't even remember what they were.
Really, that's not good.
Like, I just can't remember. Was
it this week? No, was it this week? I'm so sorry, guys. My days are like each other. Chu, the kind of like prequel to John Layman and Rob Guillory's Chu. I think it was the fourth issue that came out. Was it this week or last week?
That I'm not sure of, because our comic shop up here got Diamond Stories. I mean, I'm sure we've got a billion Diamond Stories, but the comic shop up here got, they ordered 120 comics, and they ended up getting four, and three of them weren't even books that they ordered.
Come on.
Yeah, so somewhere out there, now the label's correct on the box, and the tracking code and everything is all correct on the box, but it's the wrong box. So they're trying to get that straightened out. So this week, the only thing that he got were DC books from, I can't remember what the Canadian distributor is.
Lunar, is it?
Lunar? Well, there's Lunar and there's UCS, and one of them supplies a Canadian distributor of cards, Magic cards and stuff like this. So a lot of the Canadian distributor, a lot of the Canadian comic shops have switched to them because they're out of Montreal and you don't have to deal with customs and everything like that. I want to say Andromeda, but I know that's wrong. It's not Andromeda. Universal. It's Universal.
Oh, yeah. They're actually, I believe, from what I understand, Universal shares the warehouse with CBCS in Oakville.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
There was a huge huge deal with CBCS. I was all excited because, CBCS is opposed to CGC is the other major grading company for comics and stuff, right? And I was all excited when I found out, there's a Canadian location now for CBCS. So instead of paying your customs fees or anything like that, you're not going to get hit with that. You send it to Oakville. Oakville sends it to I think they're in Texas now somewhere.
Yeah, they used to be in Florida, but I know they moved, yeah.
So, and then Houston sends it back to Oakville, and then Oakville sends it to you. And somehow they managed to avoid any of those customs charges and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So I send away, a handful of books. They come back in 3 weeks. Amazing. I'm like, 3 weeks. I got my books graded. Amazing. Wow. That's awesome. I'm going to send out another batch. So I send out another batch at the end of January. So I expect about a month and change, maybe 2 months, 3 months for it to come back. The pandemic kicks in. And they close the border. And I don't hear anything from CBCS. And I'm just looking, waiting for emails every day. So I finally send a message to them. And I wait and I wait and I wait. And there's nothing on the website. There's nothing. No updates, no nothing. I finally find out CBCS has one employee who lives in the United States and drives across the border to Oakville and works there. I'm assuming goes there in a van or a big truck or something, loads up the stuff, brings it across to the States, and then ships it to Texas from whatever state he's in. I don't know if he's in New York or something like that. So since March, this guy has not been able to cross the border.
Yeah, that's exactly the story that I heard.
Yeah, and people are losing their mind. They're like, when are we getting our books back? Like, what's going on here? And CBCS, they're not making any comments. You almost have to track them down to get any little bit of scraps of information. And finally, they tell people, and it starts coming out, that this is the situation. Well, they have that warehouse in Oakville. They share it with Universal Distributing. So they made an arrangement with them where they would ship them to the States.
Right.
So that resolved the problem. But, it took them months to figure out how to do that. Like, they couldn't hire somebody in Canada to go in there and start, cleaning house. But
yeah, it's a weird situation. What do you do? Like, from their point of view, I'm sure they were just hoping the border would open up sooner than later. And it's like, maybe next week, next week. And that border just never opened up. In the meantime, people are still mailing things to that Oakville warehouse and it's filling up with orders. And I'm sure this guy's house or garage or whatever is sitting there in the whole bunch of, your books are probably sitting beside his golf bag.
I swear to God, when my books, I finally did get them back. When I got them back, there was a layer of dust about that thick on the books when I got them back. It was unbelievable.
No doubt. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's just the way it is. Like, we got to deal with this pandemic the way we can and temper expectations and do what we can, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well. So the other thing I wanted to get into, if anybody is kind of following along here, is I'm on this big, huge kick, and I have been for a while, and I never want to say I told you so, because I'm not that kind of guy, but I told you so. That every single time DC makes a move, it's almost like a trial, like they're looking at Scholastic and how Scholastic is successful in the graphic novel market for young readers and stuff like this. So things like Dog Man and Babysitter Club, and you know, we go on and over this all the time, how those graphic novels are selling, you know, millions of copies each. And Spider-Man is like having a hard time busting, you know, six figures. So are some of the DC books, right? And now they're announcing this new DC Omniverse. And the idea behind Omniverse, if nobody's been reading about it, is we're no longer going to care that much about continuity. So back in the day, if you wanted to do Justice League book, some editor said, well, you can't have Superman because we just gave Superman to John Byrne. And you can't have Wonder Woman because we just gave Wonder Woman to George Perez. And you can't have, and the list went on and on. So you got the Blahaha Justice League. Now, fortunately, it turned out to be an absolutely hilarious series. But you always get that kind of creative problems. With this new Omniverse that they're talking about, it's nothing is in continuity. Everything happens on some realm. If you really, really need us to explain it, we'll tell you it's like Earth 356, and that happened on Earth 352. But just, here's a story. However, whatever format that's going to take physically, you have creative freedom to do what you want, publish it, and get it out there.
Sounds like a company that just wants to lay off a few editors so that they don't have to pay them.
Yeah, well, there is that too, right? But it kind of opens up the door for more of this, like DC Comics Earth One. I don't know if anybody remembers Earth One. Hardcover original graphic novels that kind of rebooted the characters a little bit. And at the time, people made reference to, you know, the Ultimates universe for Marvel, that this is the same kind of idea. But then it kind of fizzled, and I think they released Green Lantern number 2 recently. But right beside it, you get the three Jokers from Batman, right? Batman 3 Jokers. And this Omniverse is a way for them to kind of say, well, this is now how all this coexists. And I just think that it's just opening up the creative world for them to allow them to do whatever they want and publish whatever kind of graphic novel, what kind of series. It just doesn't matter. So if Scott Snyder comes in and says, hey, I want to make James Gordon Batman, they're like, yeah, go ahead.
So are you saying you like this?
Or? I don't know. It's one of those mixed feelings where the problem with when you turn 50 and then 51 is you begin to realize you're not the target demographic for anything. Nobody does anything for you, you know.
I'm 43, and I feel like
a few more years from now, I'm going to be part of the gray power crowd, so I'll have a little bit of marketing towards me, like undergarments and stuff like this. But
and discounted coffee, right?
Yeah, discounted coffee. But in the meantime, you know, they got to do something, because us guys that are willing to pay $3.99 for 20 pages of story every month is diminishing.
Yeah.
You know, the sales are just not there. So I guess
it hurts, man. When you go into a comic store and you go in with $10 and you don't have enough money to get two books.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
That's like, I remember in the 90s during the Image years, you know, you can say what you want about quality, but, you could go into a store with $10 and walk out with 6-7 books. You know what I mean? And it's hard to swallow. Like $10 is $10, man. Like,
and a lot of people say, you know, in the '90s, $10 was worth more than it is now. But comic books just have not kept up. You know, like when I was a kid, Mom would give me a buck. I'd head to the local Max Milk, and a comic book was 30 cents, a bottle of pot was 30 cents, and a chocolate bar was 30 cents. Perfect. So you got one of all three. You sat there on a Saturday, you read your comic book, you had your chocolate bar, and everything was like, life was golden. Yeah. Well, chocolate bars are still a buck. A can of pop is still a buck, roughly, give or take. Comic book is $5 and something cents after exchange, after discounts, after all this stuff, if you pre-ordered it 3 months ahead of time and you have to go to a special store to get it. You know, it's just not keeping up. Like, I'm looking at one of the issues of Dogman here. It's $12.99 for the entire graphic novel.
How many pages?
Yeah, I'm trying to look that up. Here it is. 256 pages. 256 pages for $12.99 Canadian. If you go hardcover, it's $28.94.
You know, still, it's still a good deal.
It's a great deal. And that's why Dogman sells 5 million copies. So, you know, with DC, like, I know that AT&T got in there and kind of, you know, spent too much money buying Warner Brothers in the first place. So they hacked and slashed left, right, and center. So we are dealing with that as well. But even before that, with their DC Inc. and their DC Spot and all this stuff, this is the direction they were going in.
Yeah.
Like, you want a Batman comic book? Yeah, sure. Here it is. It's going to be at Chapters. It's going to be at the pharmacy. It's going to be in the grocery store. And it's going to be 250 pages for $13. You know, all done in one complete, you know, sort of series in a book.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like that. It's pretty hard to beat that. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to have to be where it goes eventually. Like...
Yeah, exactly. And every time DC does something, you know, Marvel seems to be a little bit more hesitant to get into that. They seem to be doing okay with the monthly comic book sales, and they kind of inflated a little bit with their variants and their relaunches every once in a while. But they seem to be happy in that mode. DC's like, no, let's try this. Let's put a 100-issue comic book, couple of original stories, the rest reprints into Walmart for $9.99 to see if it sells.
That was a success for them, though, wasn't it?
It went okay, but obviously not well enough for them to continue it, because the new Walmart initiative.
Is it done now?
Yeah, it's done. And The new Walmart initiative in the States is 5 comic books in a bag. So they're going back to the, you know,
so two or three. What they couldn't sell, they...
Yeah, from exactly.
Their overprint, they stuff it in a bag and they sell it to you for what, $10?
Yeah, $9.99 US for 5 issues, I think it is.
It's the same
thing.
And then
someone goes on eBay to sell them for $30 an issue because they're rare.
Yeah, they do put in the pack. They put one with a special Walmart cover.
Oh, okay.
It is a reprint, but it does have a special cover, and then the rest are just regular issues that they have, like you said, in the warehouse lying around.
But that's in the States, eh? We don't see any of that.
We don't get that in Canada.
No.
Yeah, because I know was it a couple of months ago, Blake Northcott, she started a series with another fella, and I guess it was exclusive to Walmart. And I had messaged her on Facebook, and I said, like, what's the deal here? Is this something we're going to be able to get at Walmart Canada? And she's like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw those. They had like end rack displays, and they were all independent.
Yeah, and they actually looked they look good. Like, they look like interesting reads. And I read some blurbs about them, and I was like, okay, that sounds interesting. And that's why I had reached out to her. I was like, is this something I'm going to be able to go to my Walmart and get? And she's like, I'm sorry, it's Walmart US. And
so, yeah, Walmart Canada does have a completely different set of buyers than Walmart US does.
That's a shame too, because like that's, I really think one of the worst things to happen to comics was losing the newsprints that you get in the comic, the corner stores, they used to be back in the day, you used to get them in Shoppers Drug Mart. Those are the first ones I remember buying on a little red rack in Shoppers.
The spinner rack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I bought them at the grocery store.
yeah, there too. Yeah, the grocery store. Why would you not want to have them in those places? Impulse buys for the kids. Like,
yeah.
I don't get that.
Well, even Chapters, I think, stopped selling. Like, at one point, they were selling a whole bunch of comics.
Yeah.
They were a little bit they were, but you know, they were a couple weeks later, I think, on release dates, or maybe a couple months. I don't know, but that just stopped.
Have you,
for some reason,
do you guys have any those dollar stores near where you are?
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Have you seen some of these $4, $3
oh, yeah.
floppies and $4 mm-hmm. hardcovers there?
Yeah, we. Yeah. I've got a stack beside my bed.
That's the greatest thing since sliced bread, man.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I found a box.
That's yeah, what exactly. Most of these are right here.
I found a box at one of the Dollaramas. Some of the Dollaramas have like a warehouse space in the back. Some of them don't, so they put all the boxes on the top of the shelves.
Okay.
So this one Dollarama in particular, it's a little bit smaller. So all the stock is sitting on top of the shelf. So I just kind of peeked up there and I found a box, and it's a book clearance place out of New Jersey that they're getting them from. So this is obviously a bunch of trade paperbacks that either got blown out by DC and Marvel or whatever it is.
Was it something like Ollie's or something?
Well,
like that?
There is.
Oh yeah, Ollie's is huge.
Yeah,
eh? Stuff. There That's is a good place stuff
in,
there.
Yeah, there is a place in the U.S. called Ollie's that is kind of like a clearance store per se.
I've seen, I've seen pictures online from an Ollie's, and it was tables of graphic novels, and it looked just like somebody threw a grenade in the middle, and they just scattered all over. Eh? But but it was the same deal. It was like $3 or $4 for a book, and these are books that are going for $40-$50.
Yep. And it's just kind of goes to show you that, you know, these companies are printing these books off and not selling them to the direct market. The direct market's not buying enough, and the bookstores are not buying enough. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, all these books go on discount. And, you know, there's been a couple of times where somebody, especially DC, they've solicited an omnibus or something like this, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we're not going to print it. Well, it's because they got so few pre-orders for it. But they figured
the John Byrne Superman, I think, went through that, eh?
Yeah.
There was supposed to be an omnibus for that, and it just, boom, we're not making it anymore. It's like.
Yeah, it's just not enough money. Like, it's just not enough money.
It's almost like they're casting, eh? Like, they're fishing, and they're throwing the line in the water and see if they can get a bite. If they don't get a bite, the fish isn't big enough, they just drop the whole thing in the water and say, okay, let's try this again with something else.
Well, it's economies of scale, right? Like, we can't continue producing these trade paperbacks and then selling them at a discount to Dollarama and Ollie's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why print them?
But does that say maybe if they had a better selling price on those, so instead of selling them at $40, if they had a $10 price point, would they actually sell them instead of having to warehouse them, store them, then sell them to like the Dollarama for 50 cents a piece so that they can sell them for $4?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't.
That's what I like about Image. Image does the same thing that, you remember seasons of DVDs?
Yep.
You could go into a Walmart and buy the first season of 24 for $20. Season two is $49.99, and season three is $49.99. But that first season, they get you at that great price. And Image does that with most of their titles, $9.99 for the first volume. And it should be enough to pull you in after that. You know what I mean? Then next thing you know, you're paying $16.99.
But they also don't soak you on the second and third volumes either.
No, yeah, they're still reasonable. They're not the $9.99 special price, but you're able to pick them up for, like I said, like $16.99 or something like that. And as far as I'm concerned, that's fantastic. $16.99, six books.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, and Spawn, like the actual like floppy comic every month, is still $2.99.
Yeah, you know what? You got to give Todd credit for that.
Oh, I think there's only, I'm the only one at our comic shop that orders Spawn.
You know what? You weren't the only one when 300 came around. They sold all.
But it's crazy. Like, you know, every once a month he pulls it up and he's like, man, Spawn's still $2.99.
You got to give him credit, but like, he's built an empire, so he can afford to do that. Right. Like he also runs the company too. Right. So,
yeah.
Okay. just as an example here, I've got it's Hawkeye Avenging Archer from Marvel Comics. And it's, I don't know how many pages are in here, but it's a little bit on the thicker side. So there's, you know, like there's a gosh awful number of pages in here.
Holy shit.
$38.99 Canadian, $34.99 US, $4. Because nobody wanted it.
All day, man. All day.
Nobody wanted it for $40. Mm-hmm. You know? So they ended up blowing it out for $4. And it yeah. just keeps going on here. Like, you know, this Green Arrow here is $25. And the pages are worse than, you know, newsprint. But yeah, I ended up getting hardcovers, Batman 66. Like, I just got a stack of them. Extreme X-Men, an Avengers book, Iron Man. Like, it's just nuts.
Superman, yeah, I saw that one.
$23.99 Canadian, $19.99 US. $3.
Exactly. Yeah.
I picked up a bunch of Captain America stuff because, you know, I like to read Cap, but I don't want to invest in Cap. Like, does that make sense? So,
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So when I saw that they had the books there for like $3.99, I mean, I bought like 4 or 5 graphic novels because like for $12, but that was, I bought 4 for the price of 1, you know, for the smallest one. I mean, I can't even tell you how much money I saved just by buying them at Dollarama, but you know, that is not a good good business, really. I mean, to sell them like that, it's terrible.
You feel guilty, too, because, like, you have a certain amount of loyalty that you have for your – like, I don't know how it is down south with you guys. I'm sure some of you guys have a favorite shop. I'm not going to make you say any names or anything like that.
Well, we have a shop in Peterborough. Well, there
you go, right? So, like – but you feel a certain amount of loyalty to them. And you'd love to buy all of these things there, but man, how did they compete with $3 for a graphic novel? Like,
yeah, even like these are discount blowout books, so it's a little bit of an off. It's a little kind of a one shot thing.
Some of them are garbage. Some of them are you have no interest in picking up, right?
But I just went to the Chapters Indigo website. They got a 20% off deal. I got the little plum reward, so I got another 10% off. So I got 30% off a whole bunch of pre-order books, like the Luke Cage Epic Collection. Oh, nice. I just got that for 30% off the regular price at Chapters, which is less than my comic shop could buy it from Diamond.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel guilty about that. Even like Amazon. Amazon, you almost get 30% off right off the bat, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel guilty enough to say that I've bought thousands of dollars of graphic off of Amazon just because the price is right. Like, it's...
I bought all of the year one stuff from DC from Amazon because it was, I got it for like $15.99 or $16.99.
How did you beat that?
And then to buy them through the shop was $24.99. And then that was US. So, I mean, they'd have been almost $30 a book. So I paid less than half price for them. So it's like 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah. So, I was happy to find this one. Space Ghost from DC Comics.
Yeah. That's the thing with Dollarama, you got to keep going, right?
Because the stock changes.
We've got $6 Dollaramas here in Peterborough, right?
Yeah.
You know what?
It's like you got to go to every one once a week
and see what's new.
Per capita, I think we got you beat. I think we got 4.
It's like a Dollarama for every 40,000
people. That's overkill. Yeah.
A Dollarama for every 10 Hortons.
No, we got more of those. We've got 6 Tim Hortons on one street here. It's along the street down, but we still got 6 of them on that street.
Yeah.
And one in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just absolutely have to adopt the Scholastic way of doing things. 250 pages for $12.99 is the full pop price for that book.
The problem is, are you going to get the talent to do that? Are you going to get the Jeff Johns? Are you going to get the I know as soon as I say Brian Bendis, one of you guys is going to go, ah! but I love him.
The honest answer is no.
No.
You're not.
No,
what?
No.
You're going to get a young Geoff Johns. You're going to get young Bendis.
Up and comers.
You know, maybe. There was a time when Geoff Johns was not paid an incredibly high page rate doing Flash, and he was doing great stuff.
Yeah.
So,
like, it's going to be hit and miss. That's what it is. Like, and really, with the way things are today, it's kind of hit and miss in the pros right now, too. So,
absolutely.
Like, as it is, most independent, like, most creators are saving their best stuff for when they can go creator owned, do something for Image, do something for Dark Horse, and then get the movie deal or the TV deal.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the bucks are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's where the riches are. And it just, I mean, I don't know, the gal who does, I should remember her name, but I don't for the life of me. It's not Babysitter's Club, it's Smile.
Oh shit. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
She's doing fine. And her book is, I can look it up here and then I can even figure out what her name is. But, you know, she's getting all sorts of awards and stuff like this. And she's been featured in the New York Times bestseller list and all this stuff. And
I've never read that yet.
Raina Telgemeier. Oh, God.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Put a ski on the end so I can pronounce it. Well, you know, her book, Smile, Eisner Award winner, number one New York Times bestseller list. $13.99, and it came out February 1st, 2010. It's still in print. It's still $13.99. It still sells. Mm-hmm. You know,
wow,
224 pages for $13.99.
Comic collectors are kind of their own worst enemies too, though, right? Like, because you get guys like us who are like, I gotta have the first print, or now I guess everybody's got to have the fourth print. You know, because that's the one that's worth the money. And, yeah. and they're the ones that are driving the comic book, like the secondary market, like through the roof.
I want to get you guys' opinion on something here.
Sure.
I was lucky enough. I got myself a copy of the first print of The Last Ronin.
Yeah, nice.
That was totally, there you go. That was totally orchestrated, right? They knew exactly what they were doing there by allocating shops and stuff like that and cutting off their print run. Mm-hmm. There's no way in today's market, and I know IDW is not Marvel, they're not DC, but they've been in the game long enough that they know when they have a certain amount of orders, they know what they have to print. Yeah. That was a brilliant marketing scheme. They're going to sell a ton of the second print. It's going to be in dollar bins in no time.
Well, and the other thing is the free advertising.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they created this, like you said, whether it's, you know, I understand contracts and COVID and all this sort of stuff. Maybe they legitimately were stuck at 150,000 copies for the first print. Maybe. You know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt that it isn't something underhand and stuff like this. But immediately, like, the hype and the coverage that they got from all the comic conventions and just the casual reader all of a sudden is like, wait, what? What's going on?
They even switched their artist from the original Ashcan that they had. This was a gimmick right from the front. And like, you know what? I applaud them. They did a fantastic job with it, because I don't remember the last time I bought a Turtle comic, but I bought this. I had to have it. It's like you said, we're our own worst enemy, right? Like,
yeah.
Well, the thing is that it's been hyped for so long, and everybody's talking about it, and then they accidentally not print enough of them.
Yeah,
I mean, they obviously had to know that the hype was there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. They get their orders in. They know exactly how many people ordered it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't sure I was going to get that when I went in today to pick up my books, but and, there it was.
The other thing is that they wouldn't be the first publisher, not mentioning any names, to go back to print and not actually call it a second print.
Yeah, I hate that.
You know, like they could have gone back and phoned the print company up and said, you know what? Hold that in the print shop. Just leave it there.
Here's the new
another 100,000 copies, and it's still the same print because we haven't actually shipped or taken delivery and stuff. Yeah, so it can be a bit creative. They could have done that.
Yeah, I'm not throwing shade at anybody or anything, but and I know it had a huge print run, but the original Captain Canuck number one, it had to be reprinted again. It's not like.
I'm not going to say too much about it, but I do know somebody who has screenshots where the announcement was on social media. Hey, we've gone back to print for issue one because it was such a success and blah, blah, and it's great and it's awesome. And we're definitely going back for a second print. And then that post
disappeared
magically.
You know what? Hey, whatever. Like, I understand it's a business. When it comes right down to it, it's a business, and you got to do what you got to do to bring the dollars in, right? But yeah, no, I get you though. It's frustrating as a collector to not be able to differentiate these things.
It doesn't matter too much for me personally because what we've seen is a bit of a trend where, like Chris Ellis said last week. Us collectors from a certain vintage, we wanted first print, second print, third print, fourth print was garbage. We don't want that. We absolutely no. We want first
until print. Like 2-3 years ago.
And then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, actually the fourth print of this Hulk book is really, really hard to find. And there's
perfect example.
Yeah. And there's very few copies. So it's very possible that if they had actually done a second print and maybe changed the colors and stuff, it might've been worth more.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't bother me if they do that. It's tomato and tomato to me.
That's something that we've done with Auric too, is when we've gone back to print, we've either completely changed the cover, like we did with number one, or number zero, we've changed the color on the cover or a logo or something just to differentiate it. It's like, okay, well, do I have this?
I do not even want to tell you. I don't even want to admit in public how many copies of Orc number one I own.
Really?
All the different printings and the different covers and the fancy covers. Between one and zero, I don't know. I must have a bunch. Just a bunch. But they're fun. I mean,
they are fun.
I would easily buy 6 different homage covers of your Auric number one with like the one with the Nazi punching and the Action Comics number one.
Evergreen homage.
It's that just Dan fun.
Day, that Dan Day Captain America.
Yeah, that one I got. I must have 4 copies of that, but that was by accident. You know what?
I'm gonna,
that was by accident.
I'm going to admit something to you. I just bought that book off of eBay for $1.99.
Oh, no.
Somebody. And I was just saying to Andrew the other day, I said, I wonder if this guy, like, when he sees my name and he has to put my name on, like, the envelope to send it to me, I wonder if he said, why the hell does this guy need this goddamn book?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
just make it fun again. Just don't make it a chore. Like, sometimes, like, DC Comics, and again, I'm a big DC Comics guy. You're a big Marvel guy, so you probably feel the exact same way about your favorite Marvel books. But there's so many of them that it's a chore to get the next issue. It's an obligation. It's not really bringing me any joy or pleasure. And at some point in time, I should just say, no, you know what? I don't care if I have every single Flash comic since 1972 till now. And if I don't get the next one, I'll have a hole in my collection.
Yeah, it's true. You know what? And it kills me too, because like there's some series that I have, like Daredevil, I collected for the longest time. And when Charles Soule and Ron Garney took over, I think I got the first 1 or 2 issues. And I said, you know what? What am I doing here? You know, like I got a full list of 16 books or something like that. And you know, I got two kids and a house and a van, you know, like I gotta trim the fat here. Right. So I stopped buying it for a while, and I did the same thing with Savage Dragon. That was a series that I've collected since day one. Right. And, it's funny because right now those Daredevils that I've missed, because I started back up when Zdarsky and is it Chichetto or
I couldn't tell you
when they started their series. So, I'm back
we put
on
your
that.
Names around here. It's not a big deal.
Yeah,
but Savage Dragon, you know, like I think I missed a year and a half of it, and like I'm kicking myself now because like I got to find these books, and the print run on them, they're like 3,000 copies, and this book's $40 now. It's like, well, what happens in that book? Like, what's the key about this? Oh, nothing. There's no. Just none out there. It's like,
yeah. Chris is knows your pain quite well as he tries to get a couple of the Spawn issues he forgot.
Oh yeah, and some of the Spawns are just crazy, eh?
Yeah, I stopped collecting for a while. Actually, I like completely stopped collecting comics for I don't know. A few years, maybe 8 years or something.
Is that during the early 200s of Spawn, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a real crappy time to stop.
It hurts. And it's very, very expensive. Like they're like $100 a book now to catch up. And so every once in a while, I'll sneak one in at a show or something, you know. But now you can't go to the shows, so I just sit there and watch them on eBay and go. I can't do it. I just can't pull the trigger.
I hear you, man. It's brutal. It's brutal. But again, you know, it could be a series like Daredevil. It's like, you know, Garney's an amazing artist and I love his work, but you know, I missed out on that run. Big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you find trade paperbacks for Savage Dragon and Spawn? Like, do they make them as much as Marvel?
They do make them, but DC? I don't really, like, being where I am, it's a very niche market, right? Like, they've got to go with what sells. And, you know, if we have 250 comic book collectors in town, the odds are there's one Savage Dragon collector here, you know, if you're lucky, right? So,
yep.
So I the only time I get that stuff is when it's Christmas time and it's on my...
My wish list.
Yeah. Well, just your luck, you'll find a Dollarama for $4.
Yeah. I'm in. Right. I'm in. I'll buy them all.
I'm pretty versed on the DC stuff, but is Marvel coming out with anything fancy or any kind of new initiatives recently? Or
this X of Swords thing? I think I read one or two issues from it. Gone. Either Hickman blows me away with something, and like hits me right here, or he hits me up here, and it's gone. You know what I mean? He's too smart for me. I'm an English major, and he's too smart for me. But...
So. Yeah, I think Davis, you and I have maybe had this conversation before, but when he took over and he changed Moira MacTaggert from a human to one of the most powerful mutants out there, I was like, no. Yeah. I'm totally
see how that bothers people. Absolutely.
If you have to make that big of a change to write a story, I don't know. I think you and I did have that conversation a while ago.
Yeah.
But and I love the X-Men. Like, I just can't do it.
He did an okay job bringing, like, this rejuvenation of the franchise and stuff like that. He's done a good job. It's just, like I said with him, sometimes it's, it hits you and you're like, wow, that's amazing. I really like the way he's, it's like Grant Morrison. He's obviously on another plane than a lot of us. And some of his stuff is just beautiful and complex and amazing to take in. And then some of it, it's just too much. It's just like, okay, sorry, Grant. I'm going to go back and eat some cheese. You know what I mean? Like,
I was going to say that Green Lantern runs a bit off the wall.
I didn't jump onto it, which is weird because I am a big GL fan, and Liam Sharp is a fantastic artist. I don't know if he's still on the book or not, but I know he started off with them.
Well, we got about a minute left here, guys. It's like you said, sometimes I definitely applaud the fact that they're trying, that they're taking chances.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They have to, because this model is not going to last the way it is.
If
a comic goes up to $6-7, guys, I'm sorry, I'm out.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Regularly.
Yeah.
I'm out.
You're not the only one. So I want to take this opportunity to thank you so much for coming on, Davis. That was fantastic.
Oh, thank you, guys. This was a pleasure for me. Yeah. Thank you.
Absolute best of luck with your Kickstarter. In the meantime, everybody, heykidscomics.ca. That's where you can find our stuff. If you want, you can also find us as a downloadable podcast on iTunes. And I keep going through the list. Just search. You'll find us. It's really easy. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next week.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo, take 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy, I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.